You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. You know, if you go to our website, thetakeaway.org, it's rare to have somebody saying that we're putting people to sleep on the program. But for the next segment, we're actually going to give it a shot, all right?
The song I typically sing to my daughters is I Will by the Beatles.
Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still.
Lullabies for a new age. What do you murmur or belt out to your child? Paul McCartney's crooning or something along the lines of Guns N' Roses. Call us with your goodnight songs at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And joining us now is Lisa Belkin from the New York Times, who writes the hugely monster Motherload blog on the New York Times website all about motherhood. And the issue of lullabies came up on that blog recently, and that's why we invited Lisa Belkin to come in. I should remind everyone that Lisa is also the host of Life's Work with Lisa Belkin on Sirius XM Satellite Radio and is the author of the book Life's Work, Confessions of an Unbalanced Mom. I just wanted to say unbalanced mom before I said hello to you, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and yes, and a bit unbalanced at the moment, so that's appropriate. Yes.
Well, tell us about this lullabies project that you sort of backed into, but with some very interesting results.
I found it on a blog in Britain, and they had asked their readers, and 2,000 people responded. I figured if 2,000 people were interested in Britain, let's see what the Americans have to say. And the idea was, what do you sing to your children? It's not, you know, Rock-a-bye Baby anymore. What is it? And it's a lot of pop songs.
And, first of all, what were some obvious suggestions? What were some unusual suggestions? And there were some on here that just don't seem like they evoke sleep at all.
Yeah.
Some of them would wake me up, but that's neither here nor there. And the lyrics of many were very inappropriate, and the parents knew that. There's a lot of discussion on the blog about, well, they don't really understand, do they? And the rhythm's good. But a lot of the things that we've been singing to babies forever are not terribly appropriate.
Right.
I mean, that cradle falls down.
Yeah, exactly. Ring Around the Rosie is about the plague.
Absolutely. So we're singing new inappropriate songs to kids, but a lot of them were, if you look at a love song, it really is appropriate between mother and child. They're not written that way, and I'm not talking Barry White, but most love songs sung by a parent to a child take on a whole new meaning.
Well, some suggestions.
Some say a lot of Beatles.
A lot of Beatles.
Beautiful Boy was huge. In My Life was big. A lot of Broadway, which is interesting.
What sort of Broadway?
We've got Beautiful Boy back there, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we got all kinds of music. Staffed here.
There was a whole discussion between two women about a bushel and a peck and why their parents sing it to them and how they didn't know what a bushel and a peck were when they were little. They thought it was a hug and a kiss, and they came to understand in middle school that it was a measurement. Lullaby of Broadway was a big one, and I'm surprised that parents today know it because we're talking some young parents on there.
Well, let's pull back for a second and listen to A Bushel and a Peck from Guys and Dolls.
A bushel and a peck, you bet your pretty neck I do. Doodle-loo-loo-doo, doodle-loo-loo-doo, come on, girls.
Now, I can see that calming me down and putting a smile on my face, but I don't know if it would put my kids to sleep.
If you're rocking and bouncing while you do it, yeah, I could see it.
Well, let's talk about some of those pop songs that you mentioned. Give us an example of one where there was a raging discussion about the lyrics.
Well, the one that I actually had never heard was I Kissed a Girl, which is a British pop song about a homosexual relationship. But if you're singing it to a little girl, I kissed a girl. But so there was a lot of discussion about whether or not you're influencing your child for life based on singing these lyrics. There was Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, was a huge one from Guns N' Roses.
Let's just listen to that for a second. This would be an example of lyrics that really work, but I mean, it's hard to imagine that one putting a child to sleep, although we are talking about parents who are singing to their children
right,
as opposed to a full band.
Or more to the point, I don't understand how some people sang some of these songs. I mean, some of them are hard to sing. Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. I mean, if your standard is Whitney Houston and you're trying to reach those notes and bring that to the nursery. My goodness.
Love you.
That feels like a lullaby, though.
I can hear it. I actually think the nursery is kind of an American Idol studio for a lot of moms. I mean,
I could hear it. I couldn't sing it. Could not sing
it.
But absolutely, it's a perfect song. Or James Blunt with You're Beautiful. Again, a tough song to sing, but an appropriate song.
Do you get an image of mom sort of
or dad,
you know, jumping around? Or dad.
Or dad.
Right,
there were
right.
a lot of dads on this website. I mean, I'm interested that you started with a dad calling in. There were a lot of dads on this website. This was in this particular discussion. This is not just mothers singing.
Did dads have different suggestions than moms? Different style?
Track it. I bet they did. Yeah. I would bet much more of the country music came from the dads, much more of the bouncy music. It, you know, kind of my informal memory of what hundreds of people said on there was that, yes, I think the dads probably sing slightly different songs.
Well,
were you surprised by the responses?
I would have been if 2,000 people hadn't responded in Britain.
Right.
But it was one of these things that when you say it, people just want to start telling you. And they want to, interestingly, not only talk about what they sing to their children, but they start remembering what was sung to them.
Well, as usual, Lisa Belkin, there's a lot of anthropology on your site. Lisa Belkin writes the Motherlode blog for the New York Times website. And she's also the author of the book, Life's Work. You're a host of the Life Work show, right?
Yeah, Life's Work with Lisa Belkin on XM,
Thank
on
you.
Satellite, on Sirius XM. I forget that's Sirius XM now.
And Life's Work, Confessions of an Unbalanced Mom. Thank you, Lisa. And, you know, I still have those lullabies, those kind of new age. And actually, new age is wrong.
Is that in quotes, lullabies?
Lullabies for the leaders of tomorrow. And Lisa Belkin, our guest, who wrote about what parents are singing to their kids. And it's actually pretty
surprising. On the New York Times website, Motherlode.
Right, Motherlode. And, you know, I remember what my parents sang to me. And I remember what I, you know, sometimes had spotty success getting my kids to fall asleep with. And we were getting tons more.
My name is Carmela. I'm from Long Island, and I would sing Sweet Baby James to my boys as a lullaby, but I would change James to their name, of course, so that it felt more personal.
Rock-a-bye, Sweet Baby Jane.
Well, that works.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
And
calming and soothing.
Well, there must be something about when you're a little kid seeing the song that your mom loves that is reassuring on some level, or your dad loves.
Right, you know. Exactly. Thanks for including dads, because my dad is a hummer, and he's Nigerian. He loves Nigerian music, world music.
He hums.
And a
he
lot of
own
them
a
are musically based.
Right,
yeah, so he kind of hums it, and to this day, it's very comforting.
It's very comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your dad's favorite song is, you know, like James Brown.
Yes, hello, in response to the Lullaby Project, what I would sing to my kids if I had any for a lullaby, well, Cold Sweat by James Brown. How's that one?
I wake up in a cold sweat.
Yeah.
If you want them to be up all night.
Get up and have some cereal. That's it. Get up and eat these bananas. That's right. Yeah, maybe there's a reason why he doesn't have any kids. But I like his nomenclature. It's the Lullaby Project that we got you all involved in. This was actually a suggestion on Lisa's website.
No, there was a whole discussion. She said many people actually like this song. It's
Guns
just hard
Roses.
To imagine people who are not singers attempting this. Can you see that? Can you?
I can, actually.
Imagine that?
I mean, when you're a parent and you got to get the child to sleep, I mean, you're in a desperate state. You'll do anything. I mean, standing there in your underwear, like screaming out Guns N' Roses, I can totally see it. And I have four kids, so, you know, we got a big band in our house. A lot of voices in the choral section there. Show tunes were actually high on the list here.
Yeah, this is Dijon from Queens. I used to sing my daughter to sleep with Tomorrow from the stage play Annie.
The sun will come up. Tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow.
It's actually the second time we've played that song this month on the show. It's popular on many, many levels.
But it's interesting, like, extremes, right? Some of these folky Taylor songs, Annie, very folksy, and then you got the rock and roll way on the other side of things. What do you think that says? Because when I was a kid, nobody was belting out Jimi Hendrix.
Well, you know,
or The Doors.
I mean, it's hard to know where actual lullabies came from. And as we pointed out in our conversation with Lisa Belkin, you know, Ring Around the Rosie is about the plague. So the source of these can be anywhere.
My name is Tracy, and I'm calling from New York, New York. And the reason why young parents are singing A Bushel and a Peck to their children is because Dan Zanes has it on one of his CDs.
I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, a hug around the neck, and a barrel and a heap.
Dan Zanes. He's huge. You'll find out.
I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.